ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
జేలిస్న సారాంఫం ప్రశాంత నిలయం. టుడే ఇస్ సెప్టెంబర్ 5th 2019, అండ్ ఇన్ ఇండియా ఇట్ ఇస్ సెలబ్రేటెడ్ యాజ్ టీచర్స్ డే ఇన్ ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ ప్రెసిడెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద కంట్రీ, డాక్టర్ సర్వపల్లి రాధాకృష్ణన్. ఫర్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ on the spiritual path, it becomes an occasion to think about all the learnings that we have collected in our heart, and you think about how the Divine Master is constantly tutoring you, holding your hand and taking you along this path. And what comes to me is, alphabets may be taught, but writing has to come from within. Notes can be learned, but singing has to come from within. Similarly, pilgrimages may be made, but peace can come only from within. Service can be done, but silence and serenity can come only from within. And this is the learning that all of us have to acquire. As Bhagavan says, this is what is educare, the blossoming of what is there inside of us. And all of us who are on this path experience this, how once we take one step, Bhagavan then takes so many steps to help us on this path. In fact, today I'm going to share with you some very beautiful letters that Swami had written to devotees in the yesteryears, in the 1940s and 50s. In the previous episodes of this program, I have been sharing with you beautiful instances from the book Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. It started off with the conversation I played for you that I had with Mrs. Samantakamani Bhashyamanti, the one who was blessed to gift the world the Vibhuti Mantram. Swami wanted her to be the instrument for the world to be aware and benefit from Paramam Pavitram Baba Vibhutim. And so on, we went with Auntie's very beautiful revealing experiences. And then she led me on to the book Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti, wherein there is mention about this episode of how the Vibhuti Mantra came to her. And then as I started reading this book, written by Mrs. Sucharita, so many enthralling tales from the 40s and 50s became alive. And for so many episodes now, I've been sharing with you anecdotes that are documented in this book. So today, I'm going to share with you a few more of lovely tales that are recorded in this book, and then some really revealing, powerful letters that Bhagavan had written to devotees of that era. it was the early 50s, and a few devotees started staying in the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram. There were only a very few rooms available for people to stay here permanently, and the first priest of Prashanti Nilayam, Seshagiri Rao Garu, who is the grandfather of Sucharita Aunty, who has written this book, Sri Sathya Sai Madhura Smriti, used to stay in Parthi, and her aunt Sharadamma also stayed with Mr. Seshagiri Rao. Sundaramma is the mother of Sucharita. Sundaramma and Sharadamma, the daughters of Seshagiri Rao, used to be called by Bhagwan as Patala Mailu, the sisters who sing, and they used to often go to Prashanti Nilayam along with their children to spend time with Bhagwan. So once, four sisters together along with the brother and their mother, they went to Puttaparthi for a couple of weeks. And Sucharita's second sister, Nalini, then a very young girl, she developed some health problem and she could not open her mouth. Now this problem was later diagnosed as vitamin B deficiency. The corners of the lip got ulcer-like symptoms and she could not eat. She would not be able to even open her mouth, let alone eating. Even for drinking milk or water, it was a Herculean task. And that is how Nalini became very weak, very thin. And those were the days when there was hardly any medical facility available in Puttaparthi. And so Nalini's mother, Nalini is Sucharita's sister, so Sundarma, she went directly to Bhagwan. Bhagwan is and was and always their Dhanvantri, their dear Swami, their refuge. So she went to Bhagwan and she broke down. And Swami said, what happened? And when she narrated the problem, Swami said, okay, bring your daughter to me. And Swami then took this little Nalini by his hand, made him sit near him. Swami took rice and yogurt, mixed them, and like a mother, Bhagwan fed Nalini with his own hands with great love. And as Bhagwan was feeding her, Nalini's mother stood there speechless, tears streaming down her cheeks with gratitude, the love and concern with which Swami was personally feeding her daughter. There were a few other people there. No one's eye was dry. Everyone was overflowing, looking at that scene. And after Bhagwan had finished feeding this little girl, she started getting better, and in just a day, everything was fine. Next day, there was no problem of her ulcers. So many such tales. These devotees who came to Bhagwan in the 40s and 50s were witness to, were party to, were direct recipients of. Similarly, there's another occasion, 46-47, Bhagwan had been to Bangalore and Swami was staying in Timmaraya Chetty's house in Visveshwarapuram in Bengaluru. So all these devotees, this close circle of 6, 7, 8 families, they went to that house for Bhagwan's darshan. And so there was Ramachandra Pappu, who later became a dental surgeon and the husband of Sunanda Ramachandran. And Sunanda was the cousin of Sucharita's mother. So this Ramachandra, Mr. Ramachandra had come for the first time and they were all waiting for Bhagwan to come out, and they all had a very good darshan and Swami saw all of them. And when Bhagwan came near Ramachandra Pappu, he pointed out, Swami pointed out at Ramachandra's lower abdomen on the right side, and Swami asked him, "Is it paining there? Is it paining there?" He said, "Yes, Swami." And Ramachandra Pappu was so surprised that first time he was seeing Swami, and Swami knew about his problem. He had not told anyone about this problem. Swami said, "Don't worry, don't worry, I'll take care." And a couple of weeks later, when they went to Puttaparthi again, Ramachandra Pappu also now went to Puttaparthi. Swami had seen him earlier in Bangalore. So one day during bhajans, as he was sitting in the bhajan hall, Swami came to Ramachandra and asked him to go with him. And Ramachandra was a little frightened, but he followed Swami. Swami took him to his own room, which was at the rear side of the hall. And then Swami asked Ramachandra to lie down on his bed. Swami told, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid." And Swami waved his hand and created vibhuti and smeared on the right side of his lower abdomen. So he was lying there, and Bhagwan now applies vibhuti to the right side of his lower abdomen. And the moment that happened, Ramachandra experienced a kind of numbness. It is almost like some kind of an anesthesia that was given. And again, Bhagwan waved his hand, and now in his hand was a Trishul-shaped instrument. And it was shining brightly like silver. So Bhagwan first creates vibhuti and numbs the area, then creates his surgical equipment, which is shaped of Trishul. And now Ramachandra was nervous. He closed his eyes out of fear. And Swami, in just a moment, he made an incision on that spot where he was having pain. And Ramachandra was conscious. And in just a few moments, Swami opened that area, removed that lump. There was a lot of bleeding. Swami put a lump in the basin. Swami cleaned the wound with cotton. And again he created vibhuti and smeared it on the wound. And the wound automatically healed. In that instant, the wound healed to normalcy. All the pain for Ramachandra was gone. And then Swami got a bed ready for Ramachandra in the corridor. And Swami said, "You lie down for some time. Just take rest for a while and after that you'll be fine." And by this time everyone was wondering, where did Swami take this person? Swami took him to his room. What happened? And when they saw him, they were so stunned. His problem for years just was operated by the divine doctor in the most mysterious manner possible. So like this, this family, the Seshagiri Rao's family, every member of that family has so many such tales, amazing tales of his grace. Swami used to always tell them, "Nenepudum meetone unnanu, I'm always there with you." Don't you know? One of her sisters is Dwaraki. Younger sister of Sucharita is Dwaraki. And she has her own very beautiful memories of being with Swami. So during one of her visits to Vrindavan, she told Swami what she should do, because she had just finished her studies and she was thinking what next to do in her life, if she should take up a job. And then Swami, in all his compassion, mentioned, "Okay, you tell me, do you want to work in a bank or do you want to do teaching?" And when he said, "Swami, I want to work in a bank," then immediately Swami got her a job. She started working in Vijaya Bank, which was next door to her house in Jayanagar in Bengaluru. So once that was set, next was the thing of her marriage. Now, even though their family was so much into Swami, in her husband's family, no one knew Swami. They were all non-believers. They did not even allow her to express her devotion to Swami in any way in that house. So, for Dwaraki, Bhagwan now was confined strictly to her heart. Swami was just her Hridayavasi. She could not talk about Swami. She cannot even put a picture of Swami in that house. And that is how her day's married life went on. On the 8th month of her first pregnancy, she went along with her mother and aunt for darshan to Vrindavan. And Bhagwan came near. Swami accepted the flower garland that she was holding, plucked out a big flower from it, and then returned the garland to her. And then Dwaraki said, "Swami, Prasadam Swami." Swami listened to her, then proceeded a few steps, stopped, suddenly turned back, and returned that flower that Swami had plucked. Swami just threw that flower back to her, and as that flower reached her hand, it had turned into sugar candy. In the air, the flower had turned into a sweet. Swami smiled and said, "You are going to get a son." And that is exactly what happened. She was blessed with a beautiful son. Her first son. When it was time for Upanayanam, for this son, Brahmopadesham, as they say, she was not happy at all because she would want Bhagwan to do it for her son, but her in-laws were not interested in anything to do with Swami. And she was thinking, how can my son's Upanayanam happen without Swami? She was very lost, so despondent. And when her husband saw that, she's so sad, husband said, "Okay, fine, we will go to Whitefield, Bengal for darshan." But just that previous night, when her husband said, "Okay, I will take you for darshan," Swami came in the dream of Dwaraki. Swami gave Padnamaskaram. Swami partook the offering that she had prepared in the dream, and Swami blessed her, and Swami said, "One need not take permission from others to come to me." And Swami said, "I am always there as your Hridayastha. I am always there in your heart, and you don't need permission from anyone to come to me." And to her utter astonishment, that morning as she got up, she found that the offering that she had prepared and kept safely in that kitchen was partaken by Swami. What happened in the dream became a reality. Swami was confirming that what I told you in the dream, that I am always there and you don't need permission from anyone to come to me, is what the message that Swami wanted to convey to her unequivocally. Eventually she had her second son, and this son later on, after finishing his engineering, became a student in Bhagwan's university. His name is Nikhil, and in earlier episodes of this program I have shared with you the stories of Nikhil and how Bhagwan fulfilled his little wishes, and he did it in a manner that he grew exponentially on his love and his steadiness and his devotion for Bhagwan. So that is how every member of this family has been blessed, and Swami, in his own ways, filled their lives with faith, with confidence, and with joy.
Shira
in the 40s and 50s, the festivals that used to be celebrated in Prashanthinilam were, to begin with, Sankranti, the Pongal. This used to be celebrated way back in 1944 itself. Karnam Subamma and Karnam Kamalamma, they used to celebrate Sankranti in a very homely and happy atmosphere. Swami was just 17 years old then. And Swami would lend himself to all the formalities of the festival. They would prepare a pongal, a sweet rice, and there would be a special item called Sankranti Nolu, and that would be prepared for the festival, which is a mixture of so many ingredients, white jelly seeds and groundnut seeds, dried and fried Bengal gram dal, dry coconut and jaggery pieces, all these ingredients mixed uniformly. So this is what was made, and Swami encouraged and Swami was sportive, and Swami allowed the people to celebrate the way they wanted, anything that made the people happy. Shivratri was one festival which was a huge draw, because they used to have this 12-hour non-stop bhajan, which started right then itself, which continues even now. The whole night bhajan, and everyone was waiting for Shivratri, for this akhanda Nama Sankirtan. It used to be a treat. And with time, once Swami started creating lingam, manifesting lingams from his body, that is when Shivratri became a don't ever miss event for everyone. And Swami in those days started lingam manifestation, not just one, two, in so many years. Swami would manifest 1, 3, 5, 7, even 9 lingams, silver lingams. They would just keep emerging from his being. So over the years, Shivratri became a very, very ecstatic festival for each person to be here. One Swami created a very large lingam. It was so round and so big. Inside that, people could see the miniature universe. It was like there were planets and sun revolving around inside that. And Swami showed it to everyone in the auditorium. Of course, Shivratri always had its anxious moments. People always felt so concerned seeing the pain with which Bhagwan would do this process. It was almost like giving birth to a being. That is how painful it would be for Bhagwan every time he materialized the lingam. And of course, in those days of Shivratri, you had the Vibhuti Abhishekam on the silver idol of Shirdi Sai Baba, which was a torrential flow of vibhuti from the divine hands. And later on, Abhishekam used to happen with milk, curds and rose water and kumkum and turmeric and vibhuti. So all those things happening from the empty pot. So that is how festivals in those days were huge congregations which drew people of all lands because of the magnificence and the mystical nature of these events. Ramam Navami was one occasion when there were a lot of beautiful singers who would sing bhajans and Lord Rama, and Swami also on Ram Navami festivals would create the idols of Rama, Lakshmana and Sita. Once he did that from the science of Chitravati. Once when Bhagwan had been to Venkatagiri to grace the Divine Life Conference held there for the first time in April 1957, after that function at Venkatagiri, Swami returned to Puttaparthi, and with him came Sadananda, a disciple of Swami Shivananda of Rishikesh, and there was also Swami Bhuva, another monk of the Divine Life Society. It was the eve of Sri Ramanavami festival at Puttaparthi. The preparations were going on, so Sucharita and her sister, they were putting some rangoli, they were making these decorations in the bhajan hall, and they were very busy doing this design on the stage there. And as they were drawing, and a few other her sisters were coloring, and so there were three of them who were very busy, completely absorbed in this activity of creating this beautiful design. And suddenly they heard Swami's voice from behind, and Swami is telling Sadananda, "Chudu Sadanandam, Sadanandam, see, how well these girls are drawing these rangoli designs." Swami was so happy, and so all these girls got up with a start, and Swami did not stop there. Swami said, "See, how nicely they make this rangoli mixture, you know how they draw. So Swami started explaining this whole procedure of how these girls have been doing this work. And imagine the joy of these three girls. Swami not only noticing their work, but appreciating their work and so proud of their little contribution towards the Ram Navami festival. And that afternoon, Swami took all the devotees to Chitravati. And as informal discussions were going on, Swami suddenly took out a small silver container. And this container had a lid, and everyone turned to Bhagwan. There was pin drop silence. And Swami now stood up with this container in his hand. And Swami said, okay, who all want Amritam? Who wants Amritam? And imagine the joy in the face of the devotees. The Swami opened the lid of the container and brought out this tiny spoon, and all the assembled devotees held out their hands to receive the Amritam from Bhagwan's hands. But Swami said, no. Swami said, you should have the joy of drinking the nectar without losing even a tiny droplet. So Swami asked all these devotees, young and old, men and women, to open their mouths, and like a mother, Bhagwan poured spoonfuls of this Amritam into their beings. And she says the taste was not just ordinary. It was celestial. It was celestial nectar. So that is how Swami filled their lives with that celestial happiness in the sands of Chitravati, and that the whole chance of being with Bhagwan. And this is how Swami made one Ram Navami festival memorable for the devotees. There were festivals, Krishnashtami, Gauri, Ganesha, all these festivals. In fact, on one Gauri festival in the late 40s, River Chitravati was in spate, and River Chitravati was flowing full, and as though that river wanted to visit Lord Sai. It was as if the river was so keen to have Bhagwan's darshan, it was rushing towards the mandir. And as the waters came into the mandir, everyone was alarmed. And some elders felt that, no, we should offer puja to this river, to those waters, to River Chitravati. And some women folk got ready with puja articles. And they came with coconut, with bangles, with blouse pieces and so on, what you offer to a goddess. And once the waters came, all the devotees started singing in adoration of the Divine Mother. And then Bhagwan came there, and Swami just gently looked at River Chitravati, and Swami said, go back. Swami asked her to go back, and the river immediately started receding from the gates of the mandir. All these accounts sound so unbelievable, but when you listen to these people, not just one person, so many people who have been there during that time describe this, then you know what it was to live with Bhagwan in those days. Dasara similarly was very grand. I mean, this was one festival where there was a variety of rituals and celebrations. The deity was worshipped during the festival as the Divine Mother in three popular forms, Saraswati, Lakshmi, Parvati. And every aspect was planned, wherein Swami was very, very deeply involved. He was guiding the devotees what has to be done. In the morning, all the 9 days, there would be this Kumkum Archana by the ladies. So there were young girls who were in charge of this event. They would get ready with leaves for the Kumkum Archana to be done. So there would be a Kumkum vermilion, a photo of Swami, which will be given to every lady individually. And there's to be a bell which will be rung for the program. And ladies would enter inside the bhajan hall. They would be seated. The volunteers would place the photograph and a full ladle of kumkum. And a senior person, a gentleman, would be ready to read the Ashtotram and Sahasranamam. 108 names and 1008 names. And as his name chanted, all these ladies do this puja to the photo. And Swami would be there all the while. All the women would then sing bhajans enthusiastically. And Swami would be there watching them. Swami would be there ensuring that the program is going on well. Swami would be there looking at the volunteers. Line by line, Swami would go and sort of accept the worship that is given to him. And once it's over, Swami would walk through the lines again, giving Padnamaskaram to the ladies individually. That is how Navratri happened in those days. Even the regular bhajan sessions in those days were so different, because you had well-known musicians and bhajan singers who would come to offer their service. For a couple of years, there used to be common meals for all the devotees. Cooks and several devotees took it as their privilege to involve in the cooking and serving meals to devotees. Many a times, Swami would sit in the dining hall and have his meal along with the devotees. And that is how it was for these 9 days during Navratri. One very important feature of Navratri in those days used to be these beautiful floral decorations, palanquins decorated for Bhagwan every evening after dinner in the night. Swami would be taken in a procession on all the 9 days through the lanes of Puttaparthi, and the florist group would sit through the whole night preparing these palanquin, and there would be palanquins of all shapes. There was one palanquin in the shape of Omkar, and Swami would have to sit inside that. There was one in the shape of a peacock, another was in the shape of a swan, and so on. And this whole procession ceremony would go on for 3-4 hours. And as the procession moved forward, the devotees would be standing facing Swami and walking backwards. The ladies used to be nearer the palanquin, and behind them were the menfolk. And the lanes of Parthi, they were not straight and smooth. So if it had rained, then there would be even puddles of water and whatnot. So walking backwards used to be a real challenge. But there would be people who would form a ring of security around this procession members. And one interesting point was, devotees were never bothered. They never bothered with all this physical discomfort. Their attention was fully on Swami, because if you kept looking Swami's forehead, you don't know what was going to happen. Sometimes suddenly vibhuti or kumkum would appear on his forehead. Sometimes his hair would appear to be knotted like Shiva's hair. So there are so many things, magical, mystical things happening every moment. So they never took their eyes off Bhagwan, and so anything that was happening around was immaterial. And sometimes Swami would throw flowers from the palanquins, from his seat he would throw flowers, and those flowers, when they reach the devotee's hand, they would become pendants or dollars. So every individual has a story of unspeakable bliss of being with Swami during the Dasara celebrations. And once when the woman devotee said, "Swami, we also want to be the palanquin bearers, we also want to carry," Swami said, "Okay, you also can." And he gave the chance to the women devotees also to carry the palanquin as they wished. Once it happened that the lucky men who were carrying the palanquin through the lanes, they thought that the palanquin is not heavy at all. It is so light, Swami. It is so easy for us to carry, Swami. And the moment they thought that, immediately the palanquin started to become heavy and heavy. It becoming heavier and heavier, and it came to a point where they were not able to lift it. They were going to drop it at any moment. And then they started chanting Swami's name and pleading forgiveness for that thought. They had underestimated. They had not known who is Swami. And then suddenly Bhagwan smiled and the palanquin returned to its original weight. So those are this beautiful moments that all these devotees who have lived with Swami at that time recall. Once when the food wasn't prepared, there was thick dark clouds, and it was as though there's going to be a heavy downpour. And Bhagwan understood the concern of all the people there. He just came out and looked up as though he was ordering the clouds to go away. And within minutes, the clouds disappeared. The sky cleared and a beaming smile flowered on the faces of the devotees. And that day, Swami distributed food and clothes to the needy. So every festival like this was something so special. The birthdays were the days when the divine parents would anoint Swami's hair, and that was a sight for all to see, because you would never otherwise see Bhagwan's parents on the stage with Bhagwan. And in the evening there would be a jhula celebration. Bhagwan would be on the swing, and there would be very beautiful singers who would offer their music to Bhagwan. And as the devotees would put Bhagwan on that swing, it would remind them of Vrindavan, of days of Krishna. so many items devotees would prepare for Bhagavan on Krishnashtami day, and they would offer arati in that silver plate with two lamps and kumkum water. On those days, lamps would be lit all around Prashanti Hall. A garland specially ordered would be brought from Bangalore. Swami would bless all that the savouries that they had offered and then receive the arati. It was, every special had its own charm. Apart from the regular festivals that were part of the Prashanti calendar, there would also be occasions when Bhagwan would conduct this Upanayanam, this thread changing ceremony of little ones. There was one unique event that happened during that period, and it was the installation of the Naga Pratistha. It was Sucharita aunty's uncles, her father's brother P.V. Krishnamurti and Sri D.N. Krishnamurti, her father's sister's husband, who were responsible for the installation of the Naga Devatas in Puttaparthi. If you have come to Prashanti Nilayam, right in front of the Ganesha statue, just opposite, you have the Naga Devatas in Prashanti Nilayam. And these uncles of Auntie Sucharita once expressed their desire to Bhagwan that they should do Naga Pratistha to Swami once. They should offer that worship to Swami. And they felt that with Swami's permission they can do it anywhere. But Swami said, no, you do it in Parthi and you do it in my presence in Puttaparthi itself. And that is how Swami orchestrated the installation of the Naga Devatas. So Mr. Seshagiri Rao, Sucharita aunty's grandfather, was told by Swami about the place that he chose for the installation of these Naga Devatas, and that is where saplings of peepal and neem trees were sown. And so what was then planted in 1950s, today we have such beautiful ambience in front of the Ganesha tree with peepal and neem tree, but this was all planned by Swami in the 50s itself. Swami decided that place in front of the gate, the present east gate of Prashanti Nilayam, and once the platform was prepared, the 6 Naga stone sculpts were ordered and got from Bangalore. And it was November 24th, 1955. Swami's birthday was on 23rd. On the next day, Swami did this installation of this Naga Devatas. The program was organized exactly as per Bhagwan wanted. Once the platform was ready with the young neem and peepal saplings, then the Naga stones were carried by the menfolk who were around 3 times around the Prashanti Mandir. They did pradakshina with these Naga stones. And in the 3rd round, Swami also joined in the pradakshina, and as the music was going on, the sacred chants of Nadaswaram band and bhajan, Swami along with the Naga stones walked to this platform, and the priests were chanting those hymns, and as the installation ceremony was about to begin, Swami materialized a copper plate in which there were inscriptions, and Swami placed this copper plate into that pit. And on top of that, these Naga sculpts were placed. These Naga stone images were placed. And then Swami later on called this Krishnamurti couple to stand by him for a photograph to be taken. And the devotees had ordered for a real huge garland for Swami for that occasion. And they put on Bhagwan this garland which covered him from the neck up to the lotus feet. And Swami was wearing this garland when the photograph was taken with this Krishnamurti couple. And the function ended with arati, and arati done to Bhagwan and to the Naga Devatas, and Narayana Seva was done. And it was a great Naga Pratistha function. But the interesting thing was, the photo that was taken that day, when it was developed later, in those days we didn't have digital, you had to develop from the film. when that was done in Chennai in a studio, everyone was stunned to see that there was a huge snake on the garland and the snake's head was focused on Swami's face. So they saw that in the garland that Swami was wearing, there was a snake and the snake was looking at Swami. And all these devotees, they rushed to Swami with this photograph. Swami, what does this mean? And Swami said, oh, it only means that the Naga Devatas, they are pleased with the offering. They are so happy with you. They grace the occasion. And then these uncles of Suchita asked Swami, why didn't we see them? It is there only in the photograph when we develop it. Swami said, if you actually saw them, you will run away. You will be so scared. That's why I ensured that the Naga Devata is not visible to you all with your naked eye. But your seva is very blessed. You did it with so much of purity that the installation ceremony happened so beautifully and Naga Devata himself came. And today, even today, you see so many devotees offering puja there in front of Ganesha to all these 9 Naga Devatas which are placed there. And it was Sucharita's uncles who were the instruments for Bhagwan to install this in Prashantinam Mandir. In fact, as soon as you enter Prashantinam, that is what you see. In fact, there were so many such occasions during those years. One day Swami quite casually mentioned to the devotees, let's go to the Chitravati river and spend one whole day there. Whole day, morning till evening. And so everybody got ready and they were so excited. And Swami said, we will cook meals there and, you know, we will just spend the whole day there. So everyone packed and they got ready to be on the river the whole day. And so as they got ready with their things, the time was fixed and all the devotees set out to the riverbed. There were 2 groups. So one was the elders. They were busy with this cooking spree and the youngsters enjoyed the moment with Swami, the songs, stories, jokes and all that. The lunch got ready and both the groups now wanted to offer their dishes to Swami. So there were 2 kitchens there. The elders and the youngsters, they were doing their thing and Swami went to both the groups and Swami accepted their dishes and then Swami sat in the middle and on the sands, Swami was having food along with the youngsters. And there was so much of fun just being with Swami on the sands. And it's like a picnic with Bhagwan. And once the lunch was over, the youngster suddenly thought, oh, let's make a jhula for Swami. It would be nice if we make a swing for Swami. And somehow the mood was such, because Swami was so playful and he was so accessible. And they were just having their time of their life with Swami. And they said, Swami, we'll make a swing. Swami said, okay, go on, make it. And so they immediately made a swing there, just like Krishna used to play in Gopika with Gopas and Gopikas of Vrindavan. And they made an improvised swing. And from the trees, they collected those vines and leaves and wild flowers and they decorated that swing there. And then all these aunties, they started singing songs for Bhagwan, for Swami to sit on that swing. And Swami sat on that jhula. And as he was swinging, the devotees were singing this jhula song. So that is how glorious it was for these devotees to be with Bhagwan. Madhurati Madhuram. Madhurati Madhuram. It is a nectar that can never be described in words. That's why she is so beautifully named the book as Madhura Smriti. These are golden moments. And there were so many occasions when Bhagwan used to write letters to these devotees because they were not there in Prashanti all the time. They would come and go frequently and every time they left, they would feel so sad. And then Swami used to write very, very beautiful letters to them. In fact, once Bhagwan wrote, there was one book which Sucharita aunty had picked up. It was an autograph book because, you know, it was the last day of her, of that year in the school. And so she was taking the autograph of all the teachers and lecturers and friends in that, you know, you want to keep their memories with you. And when Bhagwan saw that book and then Swami was going through it and suddenly it struck her, why don't I ask Swami also to write something? And then he said, Swami, can you write something and put your autograph there? And Swami said, okay, I will do it. And Swami wrote such a very beautiful message. Swami says, Sucharita, anduko ashrivadamulu. Sucharita, receive my blessings. And Swami says, sacred scriptures are your eyes. With those scriptures as the base, let your vision be focused on this sacred creation. Then you will be able to perceive satya, dharma and prema. You will be able to receive the grace of the all-pervading God. So Swami is telling, make the scriptures your eyes. And then Swami continues, character and virtue are the pride of a woman. Swami says, with that type of character and the blessings of Swami, may you prosper with health, wealth, ananda, shanti and saukhya, Swami says. Achieve good name and fame. Always let Sai reside in your heart. This is what Swami writes to Sucharita. She was just a little girl. And there are so many such letters. On another occasion, Swami says, dear Sucharita, receive my blessings. Your mother has reached Bharti safely and is happily spending time doing namasmarana in Sai Sannidhi. Learning that you are feeling sad, thinking that there is lack of Swami's grace, I was so touched, Swami saying. I am feeling sad. Swami is touched that she is missing Swami. And then Swami says, Swami's grace can never be less. Neither it became less, nor it ever is going to become less. Swami's grace is and will always be with you, in you, behind you, and in your vision, in your eyes. That is why the trials and tribulations which appear as big and mountainous, they all melted away like snow, isn't it? Even now, so many of your challenges are melting away. And that is how it is going to be in the future too. Do not give in to fear. Swami's grace is with you all the time. And Swami says, if it is not my grace, how do you account for you receiving a letter from me in spite of me having such a hectic schedule? So many, such a large crowd here. But see, I am writing a letter to you. Is that not my grace? And then Swami very beautifully says, do not connect Swami's grace with solutions for problems. We think, oh, we don't have a solution for this problem, Swami, grace is not there with us. Swami says, no, do not connect Swami's grace with solutions for problems. Swami's grace is there forever in all areas. Grace has no form. Never doubt it. Grace is anandamayi, nityamayi. Satyamainadi, Swami says, the grace is all the time blissful. It is always there and it is the truth. It will never change. You be brave, be bold. Bangaru Talli, Swami says, golden one, be courageous. So that is how Swami infuses courage into Sucharita. So many such letters, each one is a gem. One Swami writes to Sucharita's mother, Sundarama. Swami says, when Sai is all protective, why are you expressing your words of anguish? Why are you so worried? When Satya Sai is residing in your heart, how can bad elements even enter you? When Bhadra Sai is with you, how can evil forces enter your heart? And then comes a very beautiful line of Bhagwan. Swami says, Sai devotees can never be helpless. They are never helpless and they are not going to be helpless. Sai bhaktulannatike nissayalu karu kaleru kaboru. Sai nilame bhaktula hrudayamu. Swami says, if you are a Sai devotee, you are never going to be helpless. You were never helpless. You are never going to be without a master, without support, because he is there. Swami says, a Sai devotee's heart is the residence of Sai. A devotee's ananda is the food of Sai. Devotee's comfort, devotee's happiness is the comfort of Sai. Swami said, for Sai, the comfort and well-being of his devotees is everything. And Swami says, let these words ring in your ears. Every time you hear the ringing of the temple bells, let these words ring in your ears. That for Sai, his comfort is only in the happiness of his devotees. That he resides in the heart of devotees and his devotees will never ever be found wanting of help or support. And Swami says, devotees are like milk. I am the whiteness of that milk. I am whiteness of that milk. No one can separate. This is the relationship between a devotee and Baba. You get rid of foolish illusions and the fear psychosis. Swami says, you have not done anything wrong. Many times we feel, oh, I have done something wrong. That's why Swami is not looking at me. That's His grace. I am not feeling His grace. Swami says, you have not done anything wrong. I am not the person to punish you for mistakes. I am here only to correct you. Whatever you think as punishment, that is not punishment. It is just a small correction. It is actually my protection, Swami says. Just remember Swami's name. It will ward off all your worries. When such a name shining like a diamond is there with you, all evil forces will get destroyed. How can they ever come near you? Will Swami ever allow them to come near you? You are in an illusion. Just never think about the worries. Swami says, so this is how Swami is infusing these devotees with confidence, with so much of courage, and each letter that Swami has written is a gem like this. There are so many in this very beautiful book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti, the last chapter which says Sri Satya Sai Premadhara. And if you read actually the Telugu, you would be rejoicing, because it is, you cannot get that impact and the power of Swami's words when you translate it into English. In the Telugu, it's so sweet, it is so nectarous. Swami continues to say that, do not have any doubts, Sai Rama Raksha is with you. It is not a good quality for a devotee to fear for things which cannot even be imagined. This is just a wave that comes this way and goes the other way. Even the vast sea cannot be free from waves. Then how can a person not see waves? There will be all these little challenges, but never ever be worried. When you cannot bear the pain anymore and desperately you want to give up, Swami's intervention will always be there. You will experience great joy. There will be no limit for your happiness. Don't make small issue over small, big issue over small things. Wait for my grace. You will succeed in your efforts. You are going to have peace of mind. So like that, every letter is a letter which infuses the devotees with confidence. And this is how Swami, right from the 40s and 50s, kept telling that don't give room for worry, be courageous. You will overcome all this. I am there with you, in you, around you. Swami says, I am very happy with your devotion, with your bhakti. I will definitely care for your problems. I will look after your problems. I will look after your solutions. Do not worry. Do not give place to fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, we have to face everything and rise. That is the way to look at fear. And as Bhagavan says, why fear when I am here? This is what Swami has been constantly telling. When I am there with you, don't ever give any scope for any anxiety, any doubt. And just think of me and know that my grace is there with you. Never ever think that you are far from my grace. It's just that you do not know that it is my grace which is actually carrying you through. And whatever you are going through, it is just a passing phase. And if you are able to go through this, it is only because my grace is carrying you. I think if we have that conviction, our life also will become madhuram. Our life will become one where every day we feel the fragrance of His presence. Every day we are flowing in the stream of His divine nectar of bliss and grace. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to wind up this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. I've been sharing with you lovely stories from this book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. I hope it was of use to you. Please do share with us what you feel about this program. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Anything else that you want us to have in this program, please feel free to send us your comments. You can also send us your suggestions on our WhatsApp number, 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Thank you so much for being with us. For me, it was really a very riveting and revealing moment reading these accounts of devotees, and I hope it was beautiful for you too. Thank you so much, Saram.